bubble for Belinda's birthday.
Yeah, the plosive bees, yes.
Yep.
We shall beat them on the beaches.
I was going to say I'll be your plosive, but I don't know how plosives I feel about that,
the
actually.
The plosives are plosiving.
Dogs and cats living together. Utter chaos.
Why?
My plosive is getting all hard.
No.
That's definitely moving to the front of the mouth.
Moving from my soft palate to my hard palate.
Oh, God. No.
It's no longer a glottal stop.
No, there's no stopping my glottal.
Oh, God, no. Oh, dear God in heaven, why?
He's going full glottal.
Why? No. Never go full glottal.
Have you seen my diphthong?
No. God. Oh, no. I can't even look at him right now.
Would you like to touch vowels?
Oh, God.
Greetings, Apropos. And welcome to the Sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
No.
Sosa.
James.
And I'm deeply disturbed. And also Jenna.
Well, we're just discussing linguistics. I don't understand where the problem here is.
It's when you were rubbing your nipple while talking about it.
That. Is it better if I do it?
No, it is not. God damn it, James! Stop it!
My diphthong is getting
stop it! No! Nope. Not okay.
Do we need to wash this away with
a
beverage?
Gosh, somebody yes. Give me a drink.
Let's do that.
Slide this down my palate.
We are drinking Mini Apple-is from Minneapolis Cider Co. This is a barrel-aged rosé cider.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Mm.
That? How boozy is this, James?
Very.
Yeah, because it doesn't taste like it at all.
It's very dry, though.
It is.
And I prefer a sweet cider.
Ah, I will keep that in mind.
I'm fine with the dry, but I do also prefer a sweet, but mm-hmm. I'm fine with the dry.
Yeah, it is not an abrasive dry.
And I will say, yeah, the rosé aspect of it really does kind of make the dryness better to me.
Yeah, no, it's a round.
It feels like it's
dry.
Supposed to be.
Wait, who dries?
It is not an abrasive dry. It is a very smooth dry.
But, yeah.
Oh,
not bad at all. Very clean.
No,
very
it, clean. It is incredibly clean.
Yeah,
not getting a lot of barrel, honestly.
There's
like an oaken aftertaste for me.
There's a little bit that I get towards the end.
Yeah. Front of the tongue.
Okay, I'm getting it more on the second.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm getting more complex.
More on the second is my given name. So.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I like that.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Good.
And I'm sorry. How much booze is in this again?
This one is, I think, an 8?
What? Which one was
something?
It?
Minneapolis Cider Co., if you look up the barrel aged, this one, I don't know if they've got it on their website because this one is not.
Is it special?
Going to be around for a very long time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or at least it is in their temporary menu that this is not one of their.
Yes, but which one was it again?
I think it's Minneapolis.
Okay.
But, yeah. It's the barrel aged rosé.
Mm hmm.
Yeah, there is no alcohol in this, and
right.
I'm really trying to figure out where they hid it all. This is why I keep asking. I'm like, and how much did they hide? Like, that's my other question, because...
The cider rosé, 6%.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Thank you for looking it up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My memory was not right.
I mean, that... Could have been a different version of that, but that's what
I'd also. But
meh, whatever. Yeah. It tastes not boozy at all. So
It is delightful.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, James, what have you been up to?
Many things.
Yeah.
But I will go in reverse into the parking space.
God damn it.
Yeah.
I'm so mad at you.
Last night was the Vilification Tennis Amateur Show.
Yes, I had questions about that.
Yeah.
But five perhaps competitors, you will answer them.
Five very capable competitors.
Smaller crowd this year.
Yeah, but same size audience.
Sure. Of course, yeah. I mean, at this point, we've gone through 90% of the comedians.
We've had
Twin Cities.
One of them actually just moved up here to join the theater community.
Oh, wow.
Another one of them.
And he joined this group?
In between other shows. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, but like, you come on up
for
and join
sure.
the theater community. Not this theater.
He joined the theater community professionally.
Yep.
And applied for Vilten unprofessionally.
To destroy that reputation.
Right, yes. there's that. We had another person who had not done any stage performance of any kind, comedy or otherwise, since, middle school, who was unbelievably good.
Good.
Without any reference to that, but then... even more so that there's been nothing in between then and now, that this is the first thing that she's done for...
Sure. You know, yes, I understand.
Yeah. So, yeah. Somebody who had applied to Vilten the year that I got in...
You mean the year that Jessa got in?
The year that Jessa beat me
yeah.
For the first time, yes.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah. A feat that she would recreate again and again.
Yes.
Jason Kruger had applied 9 years ago.
Oh, wow. It hasn't been that long.
Yes.
Oh,
and
my
he
God.
Spent that entire time studying the blade.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That, wow.
Yeah, he...
I spent that long trying to get away from the place.
He...
yeah?
He did an absolutely phenomenal job. And then Andrea Rapella, who... Because Andrea Rapella, she is incredibly funny, always. But she was in a stage show at Fest that was entirely populated with vilifiers.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Except for her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was the Glovers and Eric and
Charlie.
Old host.
Yep.
May he rest in peace. And, Fromage,
yep.
who was, and then also Klaus. Mm-hmm. And just like the entire stage was fucking stacked with vilifiers.
Yep.
And then Andrea.
Yep.
And so people would come up and would, you know, rub elbows with everybody. Oh, great job.
Yep,
great job in Vil today. Great. And then when they got to Andrea, they would be like, really good job in Vil today. And she's not in it.
Right.
But it happened so many times that it went from like, oh, I'm not, to like, I'm not in. And then on to like, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After a while, you just... Sure.
It just happened repeatedly.
The same thing happened with me and Suze Becker, because she started Vil before I did.
Uh-huh.
And then, I just started doing it.
Well,
I was like,
there
oh,
was
fuck.
Plenty of people who couldn't tell the two of you apart, either.
When we were both younger, we looked very fucking similar.
I could see it.
Somebody once asked me about my kid, and I was talking about my kid, and then at a certain point we realized I wasn't the one with the kid that he was remembering.
Thinking of, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Anyway.
Yeah. And then, so, Andrea Rapella... finally applying, going through the application process for Vil and auditioning.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And our listeners will be familiar with Vil, of course.
Naturally.
But the vilification tennis process, very briefly, it is the meanest way to audition someone.
Mm-hmm.
You are having them come up and do the show for up to 2 hours in front of a live packed house.
Yep.
And that may be the only time they get to.
Ever.
Yeah.
Ever. And so,
it's brutal.
My, I was coaching the guy that came up to join the Twin Cities Theater community and to do that professionally.
Right.
And I guess I did an okay job. He won.
Oh!
Well done.
Well, yeah. There you go then.
Did he have an improv background or just acting?
He was apparently familiar with improv games and things like that. There were a couple of games that he, I guess, was unfamiliar with. But, okay. You know, part of the application process, part of the auditioning process is that they put you through your paces ahead of time.
Certainly. Yeah, I was just wondering if possible, because clearly he has an acting career, but like some actors come into acting and go, I'm an actor, and some come in and go, I have tried everything. You know what I mean? Like, like I've done acting, I've done improv, I've done stand-up, I've done, you know, a lot of the other things.
I've written, I've stage managed, I've lit, I've, you know, everything, that, which would be me.
Right.
I have done all of those things. Yeah.
Same, yeah. But like some people, you know, they come in to be the theater community, the actor, and they that's what they do. They do one thing, and they do it really, really well. But that's their that's their strength.
Yeah,
so. Right.
So, we had five like really, really amazing applicants. I was judging,
but four of them weren't as good.
Well, that's that's how an elimination style show works.
That
is, so
I know that's
I wasn't. The conceit.
I wasn't
of the
like judging
exercise.
Or being mean or anything.
Oh, no, I was judging.
Last night, I was one of the judges.
Oh.
Oh, so that's how your person won.
No.
No, you heard it here. The fix was in.
Yeah.
From the beginning.
Yep, I magically got the five other judges.
Yep. Grease some palms. I get it.
Well, I lubricate them anyway.
Yeah, well, I mean, whatever you were doing.
Please don't ever say that again.
I probably won't.
That glottal stop.
Diphthong. So.
Would you guys stop? Oh, my God.
I mean, eventually we will die. Probably from this. But, yeah. It was all five of them put on an absolutely spectacular show. And they handled the usual surprises that get thrown in with
aplomb. I knew I called it.
Mm. With a bomb?
With a plum.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
A plum bomb?
Yeah. You know, what carpenters use. So.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. So, that. And then, so that was my Sunday evening was entirely that. Two full hours, and great.
Yeah.
Amazing. So the thing that I did before that, it was LAN weekend, quarterly LAN weekend. So I went from 2 days of living lavishly and without much in the way of sleep directly into a high energy environment that required my full attention and kept me up until the wee hours of the morning, and then went to work today. LAN party weekend was fucking fantastic. We had a couple of games that we played pretty frequently. One of them was Goblin Cleanup, which we refer to as Thick Goblin Maid Simulator.
Like Goblin Created or Goblin Dusting?
Goblin Dusting.
Okay.
Yeah. You make a little goblin maid.
Okay.
Your goblin maid's job.
So you made a maid.
Yes.
Okay.
Is to reset the traps, mop up all the blood and viscera, feed the creatures,
Sure.
And to re-up the mana in the magical artifacts and put treasure into the treasure chests and things like that.
Oh my god, you're such nerds.
It is very fun. And you can make your character hot. You can make your character a hot goblin maid. I really don't know how else to sell this other than that. But it was it was a great time.
Salsa, put your shirt back on. God damn it.
What is it that you say? Drink it in?
Yeah.
The
drink it in. fricative.
Why am I grossed out right now? Like, I don't even...
I'm just talking about word language. Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah.
Rotic.
Stop. Just
so, that. But we also, we played some of the usual stuff. A lot of what we played were games on the big TV. We had a lot of big TV game time.
Oh,
which is weird for a LAN party. But we ended up playing a lot of... Like Mario Kart and
like Jackbox,
and other stuff on
that
the big
old
TV.
Chestnut.
Yeah. We always try to look for a new and different restaurant to go to as a large group. The previous time it was George and the Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
This time we went to a what used to be a Rainbow Foods and is now an assortment of different Mexican restaurants and a grocery store all sort of crammed together right next to Hub Hobby on 66th. And that place is fucking incredible. They have a deli section that has takeaway and they also have like a full-on couple different restaurants and a place that makes drinks and everything. So, and a bakery with really just incredible pastries. So, we all got too much food and then rolled home with pastries for the morning, which was exactly the right move. Mm. But yeah, if you are in that area, look for what used to be a Rainbow Foods and is now heaven. Yeah. And as we were leaving, even though we usually look for, we try to look for a different place every time, Charles said, "We're doing this from now on.
Yes,
This is it.
We don't have to go anywhere else.
No,
precedent has been established.
We have found Avalon.
And if that isn't a ringing endorsement, I don't know what is. So,
ring.
Yeah. That was." That was the bulk of it. It was a very full, very fun weekend.
Nice.
I also had an eating establishment that used to be a grocery store experience.
Huh.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I did not. I know, so please go ahead.
It was very bizarre. I was like, this is the weirdest segue ever.
I went to an Aldi. That's not. Yeah. Anything near...
That's a grocery store that used to be a grocery store and still is.
Yeah. My kids went to a birthday party up in the Fridley area, and my wife and I were like, well, we're going to go fuck off on a little mini date. And we went to this place. It's a restaurant and cocktail lounge called Margie's.
Oh.
Okay.
And it is in a building that used to be a grocery store.
Huh.
But this... place is like, I don't know why this place isn't fucking world famous. Holy shit. Apparently they opened right before COVID.
Oh no.
But they made it through.
Yeah.
And I'm glad they did because their cocktail, we've gone and gotten cocktails there before.
Mm-hmm.
And their cocktails are just fantastic.
Sure.
Like they keep inventing new ones and coming up with new stuff. So it's I had a spring cocktail that was like dill vodka with just some simple syrup and some lime, stuff, and it was delicious. It was delicious.
You paint absolutely with words.
Yeah.
You're an artist.
Well, words has failed me because
there's no black velvet, so
it was really good.
Or national but, velvet.
Like the food.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck me, I'm still thinking about that food. I had an asparagus tagliatelle with chicken.
Mm. Okay.
And the sauce was, it was this asparagus cream sauce, mm, like crema.
Mm-hmm. Say it slow.
With stracciatelli cheese.
Mm.
And it had almost like a mushroominess to it because of the asparagus.
Uh-huh.
It had that like umami, but it was a little more bright. And it just, it was, oh my God. And the chicken was just fucking perfectly grilled. This food was fucking top notch. I wrote a review.
Damn.
I went on Google and wrote a fucking review because that's how fucking good it was. Like, holy shit.
Fucking Claude from Ratatouille over here. Memories come back to him.
Seriously, this was really good. So fucking good. And then on the way back, we were like, we still have half an hour, so we stopped at Torg Brewing.
Yay, Torg.
Yep. And got some stuff. And they have, they had a gruit there. Now, gruits are beers that were made before hops were a thing.
Mm.
And so they're hopped with other, you know, herbs and stuff.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, I might have to get some of this for Jenna to see.
I might have to try that, yeah.
Because it doesn't have hops, maybe. And then I was like, oh, no, but the other herbs that this is using are juniper.
Oh, son of a bitch!
Well,
that explains enough, damn it.
No, it was, instead of hops, it had like juniper and rosemary, it was quite tasty.
Mm.
But yeah, whenever I see a gruit, I'm always like, I have got to see how they do it. Because that's, when hops became a thing, it became standardized to use hops. Every beer has, at this point, hops. You use hops. It is a grain, water, hops, yeast. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Back before hops was really a thing.
Mm-hmm.
In order to put flavor in those beers, they would use herbs.
Mm-hmm. Like broccoli.
That's not an herb.
No. James, what? No.
Fuck. And so gruits are very little known these days.
Sure.
But when they do come up, it's because somebody wants to do this. And so it's like, what herbs are they going to use instead of hops to give this a flavorful, you know, beer and have those preservative qualities and stuff like that. So, and this one was a solid one. I enjoyed it.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
Very nice.
So yeah, that's it. What else did I do? I did a bunch of job hunting. I have some interviews lined up. I've done some interviews. I have a second interview, a couple of second interviews. I've got one interview tomorrow and two interviews on Wednesday, and we'll see how that goes. Hopefully, you know, knock on wood, something comes out of this. And then on Thursday, I go in for surgery.
Yeah.
We'll see how I feel on Monday.
I will not be here on Monday.
Oh, well,
so
maybe we should just not record Monday.
We already skipped one Monday.
I know.
And now we're going to skip. Okay, well.
Well, I don't know how
it's
my
balls. It's going to be all James.
I don't know how my balls are going to feel by Monday, is all I'm saying.
I think I'll probably be fine.
I think I'll probably be fine, but also I just don't know. So we'll find out.
Yeah,
we will find out.
It's true.
But yeah, that's kind of what I got.
That's kind of what you got.
Fuck! And I went to the opera. Jesus Christ!
Hey!
Yeah, I was like, I knew there was something that I was missing. Yeah, went to see Edgar in concert.
Yeah,
sorry,
ooh.
Edgar.
Edgar.
It's pronounced Edgar.
Edgar.
This was one of Puccini's early operas, and you could tell it's one of his early operas.
Oh.
The music was like solid. Mm-hmm. Musically, and the vocalists were all fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. But the story itself is pretty simplistic and straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a few points in time where you're kind of like, can I just listen to it without subtitles and not know what the plot is? Because it sounds pretty. But the plot is... the opera starts, and Edgar is like, I love this woman because she's so pure and virtuous.
Oh, no.
And then his old lover, who you find out is a fucking gypsy that was left on their doorstep, like in the most ham-handed way, it's just like, I should have known that, you would be my downfall. And she's like, you should have asked the gypsies that left me on your doorstep. They would have told you. And it's just like, okay. But she's like the black-haired, red-dressed tempstress, And she's like, you used to love me, and now you like this other pure lady. And he's like, go away from me. And she's like, okay, I'm going to go make fun of these people going to church. And then she makes fun of the people going to church, and they chase her away. And so she runs to Edgar's house and says, protect me. These people are trying to, get me because I made fun of them.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, all these people are trying to get you? Well, fine. I'm going to burn down my house. Ooh. Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
You know what? Yeah.
Good. Toddler logic for the win, I guess.
Oh, no, 100%. We were just like, huh? She's like, yeah, I insulted them, and now they're trying to get me. And he goes, well, I guess I'm burning down my house to get back at them.
Burning down the house.
Yeah. And then they run away.
We don't need no water. Let the motherfucker
burn. And then the second act is they've been having an orgy for the last however long.
I mean, I didn't like the first half, but the second one is really... They?
Edgar and the former lover. They've been absolutely carousing and debauching for a while, and he's like, I gotta get away from this. And some soldiers show up, and he's like, I know how I'll get away from her. I'll join the army.
Huh?
Yeah.
Kind of the opposite of Carmen.
the guy who's in love with the temptress and she doesn't like him back, but the guy who's in love with the temptress, they have a sword fight at the end of the first act, and Edgar stabs him, and in the second act, the captain of the soldiers coming through is Frank, the other guy, and he's like, yeah, when you stabbed me, I realized I didn't like that chick anymore, so we're good now. We're friends now. Huh. So
accidentally stabbed him in his Cupid wound.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So they're like besties now, and so he helps him get away from the temptress. And then the third act is the soldiers coming back from the war, and Edgar is dead.
Hmm.
Huh.
And
so there's an entire third act without him?
And so he's dead, and the soldiers are like, he was a real patriot and a hero. And then this monk shows up and is like, no, he was a debaucherous asshole, and he burned down his house. And everybody's like, yeah, I guess he was kind of a dick. And the pure girl is like, no, he was amazing. Don't you dare say shit like that. And then the temptress, the priest is like, hey, if you say some nasty shit about this Edgar guy, I'll give you a whole bunch of jewelry. And she's like, yeah, fuck that guy. And then it turns out the monk is Edgar.
Oh.
And he's like, ha, fooled you all. Everybody turned on me as soon as I said all the things that I'd actually done. except for the pure lady who always believed in me. So I'm going to be with her now. And then, exactly. And so everybody's like, oh, Edgar, you're fine, actually, I guess. And then Temptress stabs the white lady, and that's the end of the opera.
Huh. Huh.
Like, literally.
Wow.
The last fucking 30 seconds of the opera.
Yeah.
She stabs her. Everybody's like, how dare you? And that's the fucking end of the... There's no, aria about, whoa, and stuff like
that. The Temptress will be back in Edgar 2. No,
that is just fucking the end. That is where it ends.
Oh.
Do you guys remember Dr. McNinja?
Yeah.
It kind of feels like that.
Yeah, but it was...
A six-year-old making up a story and somebody else with much more talent producing it.
Yeah.
That's... Mm-hmm.
Pretty yeah. much.
It does feel very absolutely. Batman Spider-Man.
I mean, like I said, the end of the first, he's like, oh, you know, the consequences of your own actions? I'll burn down my house. And then the second act, instead of just leaving, he's like, I'm going to join the military, because that's how I can get away from her. And the third act, I'm going to pretend to be dead.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. When Temptress Lady shows up, Edgar, as the monk, is like, what the fuck is she doing here? So, he's not even doing it for her benefit.
Huh.
So, why is he pretending to be dead? Why is he going through this rigmarole of pretending to be dead and besmirching his own name? Why?
I feel like...
Who is this for?
It's
this
a were virtue a... test for the chick.
Ew. Yeah, exactly. It was just like, but that was like the whole... And she was already into him. So why he needed to virtue check her is like, I don't fucking know. Again, the story is bad.
Ah.
Puccini himself has said, this one's bad. I get it.
Can I take this one back, please?
Yeah. So
I would like to...
He got a lot better. He clearly clearly learned from his mistakes. And again, the music was good.
Good.
It's just the story needed a little more nuance, I think. And so there's a reason this one doesn't get staged very often. That having been said, the vocalists were amazing. They had the orchestra. This was an in concert, so it wasn't a fully, you know, staged production. It was it was orchestra in the middle of the stage, chorus behind them, principal players standing in front of them, singing with music stands. There are only five named characters in this opera.
Okay.
There is the virtuous lady.
Mm-hmm.
There's the temptress.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There's Edgar.
Mm-hmm.
There's Frank, the friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there is the father of the two ladies. He's the biological father of the virtuous one
lady,
and the adoptive father of the temptress who was left at his doorstep by gypsies.
Gotcha.
Fucking apparently. He has, like, no joke, maybe 3 minutes of singing. When there's the sword fight at the end of Act 1, he shows up to sing a few lines about, hey, don't do this, this is bad. And then at the very end, during the funeral, he shows up and is just like, yeah, it's really kind of sad. Maybe this guy. Like, but that's kind of like all he's got. The virtuous lady has two songs. She comes in the first and sings about how she really likes Edgar, because he's really great. And every time she sees him, she wants to, like, pluck a branch from an almond tree and give it to him as a greeting.
Giggity.
And in the second, her song is about how, I don't care what you say, he was great.
Mm-hmm.
That is the sum total of what she gets.
Oh.
Okay.
Frank gets a bit more. He's got a few songs. Again, he's got the fun sword fight. He's got the being the soldiers. We're buddy-buddy now, because when you stabbed me, I realized I didn't like her that much. But Temptress Lady and Edgar definitely get the lion's share of the singing, which is great, because they're by far the most interesting characters of the whole fucking lot.
Sure.
Everybody else is so one-dimensional and so nothing, whereas these two are just like... There's some fucking chemistry and sparks there. Like, this, there's some shit going on here.
These
and
two.
Yeah. These two have done a lot of fucking... Oh, my God. Yeah. No, they literally, in second act, he's like, I've had too many orgies. I just can't anymore. Like...
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Not too much.
A large order of onion rings.
Yeah. So yeah, it was fun. It was fun. I enjoyed it. Again, I enjoyed the music, but just don't read the subtitles.
Yeah,
just listen to the music and enjoy it. Let it wash over you. Let it wash over you, and don't look at the script.
It's fair.
Jenna?
Yeah.
I saw a million shows.
Oh,
I'm not gonna talk about all million, but I'm gonna talk about a bunch of them.
I don't think we have that many minutes.
Unless you can give us one review for it, and it's three words.
James, you suck.
That's your review of your million shows?
Yes.
Yeah, it's fair.
I want to hear a review of every million.
Every million?
Every single one.
Every million.
No, every single million. She said you had a million.
Yeah. And
why would she use hyperbole? I'm taking it literally.
You?
Literally use the word literally.
Yes, because that's what it fucking means.
Not anymore, technically. Anyway.
The best kind of correct.
So, I saw, and we didn't record last week, so I'm going way back. I saw Jester's Comedy on a Thursday. On a Friday, I saw a play about, and Jester's was amazing.
Of course. Great.
Yeah. That also happened to be my divorce anniversary.
Aww.
So I saw improv comedy and ate a pizza, and Bill knows why.
Yeah.
He knows.
Because I got high. Because I got high.
No. Because
I got high.
then the next day was Friday, and I saw a play about Ada Lovelace.
Ooh.
It was very well done. It's no longer playing, so sucks to be y'all.
Who was putting that on?
Was it Theater Pro Rata? I think it was Theater Pro Rata. Mm. Or at least it was at the Crane Theater.
Okay.
Maybe it was Nimbus. I don't know. Son of a bitch. Whatever.
No, very cool.
But yeah. And it was very good. They had some gorgeous set design.
Mm-hmm.
With like giant punch cards and just
wonderful.
And they, you know, the mechanical improv games where, you know, somebody does a thing and then you can, like, that kind of stuff. They use that a lot.
Interesting.
In very strong ways. Also, technically, I was kind of a part of this production.
Oh.
They put the call out. The sound designer was looking for women in the tech industry to say their name and what it was that they did tech-wise. And so the opening was a bunch of women talking about their contributions to tech.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, it overlapped and stuff. And so, yeah, I did that.
Hmm.
So technically I was a part of the production.
Yeah, cool.
In the least, like, 5 minutes worth of work. Kind of situation. But I was in the program.
Still counts.
So,
still counts.
So, yeah, technically I was in a show.
Mm-hmm.
And then that Saturday I saw Razia's Shadow.
Oh.
Which is a puppet rock opera.
Ooh.
That was produced by Phantom Chorus.
Amazing.
Cool.
It was weird. The story was disjointed at best, but the puppets were incredible, and the singing was incredible. Mark Berg, Mark Berg is one of the co-directors of Phantom's Chorus, and he is this tiny little slip of a man. He has some fucking pipes.
Mm.
Oh, my God. I had no idea. Like, I was like, I wonder who that is singing. And, like, but, and it's, Mark is obviously puppeteering and doing all the, and I'm like, but, okay, but who's singing? No, it was fucking him.
Oh.
It was insane. So, yeah, the acting was great. The singing was great. The puppets were great. The story was weird. Yeah.
Excellent.
But they had this... this beautiful spider.
Oh.
And I think they're done. There might be another weekend. But this spider had a head that was two parts.
Oh.
It was the top part and the bottom part. And it was the grin in the middle that kind of split it.
Mm-hmm.
So then the head could, like, move. The top part could, like, roll away. And then the jaw could slide in the other kinda direction.
Like the fire gang from
Labyrinth. Kind of like the fire, a little bit like that.
Mm-hmm. Very Cheshire
but
Cat-like.
It was also in blacklight.
Mm. Oh yeah!
So it was like extra fun to just watch the head split and go in different directions, and yeah, just giant. Like the spider was about the size of this lab.
Wow! It was
like 8 legs of insanity.
Yeah, Phantom Chorus always makes such
they're so
amazing
good.
Puppets. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, they're good.
So yeah. Huh? They're done?
No, they're good. They're good.
Yeah. So yeah, I saw that. And then that Sunday, I saw Conscience, which I know for sure is done. But it was a story about Margaret something Smith. I don't remember the middle part of that name, but she was a senator that butted heads against McCarthy and very specifically called him out. And she is kind of known for her Declaration of Conscience. The lead, the person who played our good friend Margaret, was my buddy Allison Anderson.
Ooh.
And this is possibly the best fucking role I've ever seen her in.
I was going to say.
She was sharp.
Yeah.
She was biting, but still amiable. Mm-hmm. She was like everything that you would have wanted in this character, and she played it to the fucking hilt. It was so amazing. Good. So yeah, I got to see that. And then I didn't see a couple shows for a few days. But then I saw
I didn't see those either.
Yeah. Well see, there you go.
Didn't see you there.
It was kind of meh.
Yeah.
I did see a movie Fight Club.
Ooh.
Which I do recommend. It's a fun time. Josh Carson hosts it. It's three competitors talk about different aspects of movies.
I heard you said I went to see the movie Fight Club.
Nope. It's called Movie Fight Club.
Okay.
The show itself is called
Which
Movie
is why
Fight
I
Club.
Was...
Yeah. Yep. Not the movie Fight Club.
We don't talk about just, the movie
Well, Fight you don't... Club. The first two rules are you don't talk about Fight Club. So,
What are you doing right now?
asking about Fight Club.
Oh.
All right. I'll give you a technicality there. but no, so it's three competitors, and they'll be given a question like, what is your hot take on the worst rom-com and why? Why is it the worst rom-com? Mm-hmm. Or what is... the costuming decision that made you cry. Like, things like this. And each person will do a presentation on their hot take.
I see.
And then the audience actually gets to vote. Ooh. And they do so, like, they'll put a little QR code up there, and you can scan it,
right. Oh, that's
go to the forum, and then
right.
And then vote for it. That was super fun. That was a delightful night. And then on the 17th, so last Friday... Mm-hmm. I went to see Fantastic Voyage Improv. Now, here's what you need to know.
Uh-huh.
No, previously I'd seen Jesters.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. They're sister companies, but they are different.
I did get that one wrong.
Yeah. but the important thing about Fantastic Voyage Improv is that you may remember last month I participated in their March to the Stage event.
I've heard of it.
And won.
Oh.
Which meant that I got to go play on stage with Fantastic Voyage.
Yep, stupendous.
I played two games. Most of the games that they had lined up that night were musical games, and I'm like, I've never done a musical game. Mm-hmm. And Steve's like, you sure you don't want to do Hoedown? I'm like, no, I'm good. Oh. Thank you. I'll be over
You're
here
like,
while
I do those
you,
things separately.
Yeah, you entertain me.
She had a date like that.
I did, actually. but yeah,
the
so
the
I ended
asses
up
chaps still fit.
I ended up playing Sex with Me, which is just fun to say.
But I mean, it's also one of the games that you played.
But it's also one of the games that I played. Yeah,
yeah, for to
so win. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Sex with Me is like blah blah blah.
Yeah,
and then joke. And I thought I would do better at it than I did.
Oh,
I know. Like,
yeah,
here's just, the winner of our contest. Impressive.
Sex with Me is like
it's bad. It's not good.
It's not good. Oh god.
Sex.
Ah.
Me.
No, so the thing is like we didn't none of us got a particularly great response during that game.
Mm-hmm.
Half of the audience was an older group that came to see local improv.
No.
And they just weren't feeling it. But that's the game we were playing. Yeah. So there you go.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's always such a toss-up with the older crowd, whether they're going to be rowdy or not.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I did fine, but, like, sure. I really expected more out of me. Uh-huh. But I also got to play What Are You Trying to Say?
Ooh.
Yes. I had never played What Are You Trying to Say before.
Oh, really?
No,
Oh, my God. Oh.
So it was my first time.
Oh. Uh-huh. I love that one.
Things I haven't said in ages. Yep. It was my first time. And I got to play the game with Matt Alto.
Okay.
Yeah. Who was the most supportive scene partner ever. Because even before everything started, I'm like, you realize I haven't done improv since, like, before COVID.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, I'm feeling the rust. Mm. And I got to do some warm-up games with them and stuff.
Sure,
and
it was great. Yeah, but it's not quite the same.
But, and I don't consider myself particularly good at the scene stuff. I love a good line game, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But scene stuff, I always feel a little off about. This is the best fucking scene experience I've had in ages. Like, since Six Ring Circus in the aughts. Yeah. Like, it was so good. We both found our places to give an opportunity for heightening. We both took our heightening. It was great. But my favorite, the scene was basically like I had glitter shoes and I was going to model them or mm-hmm. something. Mm-hmm. And at one point, I say something about how I'm not sure this is going to work. And Matt starts saying, "What are you trying to say? Are you trying to say that you're not a capable, independent woman? Are you trying to say that you're not the best person for this job? Are you trying to say that you're not going to go out there and just knock their socks off? And, like, just, is that what you're trying to say?" And I was like, that was what I was trying to say, but now you've convinced me otherwise. Like, it was very cute.
Yeah,
but, like,
really
it was
good,
such a beautiful twist on that conceit.
That is really good.
It was lovely.
Yeah, I like
it
that a lot.
So delicious.
A positive rant.
A positive, what are you trying to
How
say?
How dare you say that about my friend? Yeah
that's exactly. Sort, yeah. Basically, it was so good.
It's fucking spectacular.
So, yeah, and I had, like I said, it was a delightful scene. Mm-hmm. He was a wonderful partner. Hmm. It was just a very good time. I also got to, like, roll the dice for them for some dice game they were doing.
Mm. Oh, neat.
So, you know, bonus there, I guess.
Were they sexy dice?
Let's see. I did not see a show on Saturday or Sunday.
Oh.
Well. So here we are. I did go to a grocery store that used to be a grocery store.
It still is, but it used to be too.
No, actually, I went to Cub. I went to the Uptown Cub used to be Uptown Rainbow.
Yeah, well, we found our theme.
There we go.
Well,
because I needed some eggs.
Love it when a plan comes together.
I made a frittata. I needed some eggs, so I went to the grocery store that used to be a grocery store.
Yep.
Yeah,
I wish I had gotten like some JoJo fries or something at that Cub, so that I could have said I ate. At a place that used to be a grocery store, but
next time.
Sadly,
I did not.
Yeah. See, I had to go and fuck it up.
These things happen.
Should we take a break?
Yeah, yes. We probably should.
All right. Yeah,
we're gonna do that. Probably refill our drinks. I'll refill mine. I don't know about the two of you. Okay. I'm not going anywhere. Yeah. And we'll be right back.
All
right.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
That's probably my fault, too.
I like to think it is.
I've seen a lot of dick.
Yeah. And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna. Look, I'm not ashamed. Some of those dicks should be, but I'm not.
For some of them, it's a kink. Yeah.
Mm. No, it just hangs a little to the left. Yeah.
Sat on it wrong.
Oh, God. I did want to... Nope, I'm not telling that one online.
All right.
Anyway.
Yeah, he's dead.
He's at home. You know it's a good one.
He's dead. What does it matter now?
Yeah.
Anyway, how about a science fact?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Here's one that we could probably ask Stefan about later.
Ooh.
Because he's done stuff with NASA.
Stuff?
Yeah.
Like third base?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, on Earth, okay, metal surfaces are oxidized because we have oxygen in the atmosphere. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So they get this thin layer of oxidization on their surface.
Yeah.
In space, that does not happen.
Makes sense.
Right.
Because no one can hear you scream.
Because no one can breathe the oxygen because there is none.
Okay.
So if you polish two metal surfaces in space, they're bare metal. They aren't oxidized.
Oh.
You can touch those together and they will instantly fuse.
Yes. Yes, of course.
Because there is nothing preventing those molecules from sharing electrons.
Yeah.
Oh. All right.
That's crazy.
Isn't
awesome.
Isn't it, though? Because, there's no heat, it's no tools, it's called cold welding. And it's just literally, much like water does, it just, when they touch, they just, bloop.
It's just one uniform body. Yeah.
Did you know?
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Jen.
Gentlemen, I need you both to know this. If somebody is ever like, hey, I was thinking of proposing to Jenna. Just go with it. It could happen.
Sure.
What kind of ring do you think she would want?
Uh-huh.
The answer is something that was cold fused in space.
That's fair.
Like a meteor?
Like a ring.
Mm-hmm.
That was
to
cold
rule them all?
And yes. Like, oh, I would take
Saturn.
That too. Yeah. So either a ring that was
cold fused
in
ring
space,
to rule them all.
Or
and
I will take
space
one ring.
Or and.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Or and.
Yep. So interesting and weirdly related historic fact, saboteurs in World War II used to carry little files of mercury because aluminum has that atmospheric anodization and will otherwise rust through in seconds. It is extremely extremely susceptible to oxidization.
Yep.
And mercury prevents it from keeping that layer. So just a little dab of mercury around one of the wing joints or something like that
of an aluminum
would cause that oxidization, that protective oxide layer on the outside from forming correctly, and it would just not burn through like an acid would, but it causes the atmosphere to burn through, to eat the metal at that place.
Wow.
And weakens the airplane to the point where it will look intact.
Right. But as soon as you take off, the wing just snaps.
Done. Yeah.
Wow.
So they and one little thing of mercury could do a whole like half dozen airplanes.
Yeah.
And they could apply it to all kinds of different places.
Yeah, airplanes or other items.
And so, I don't remember where I read it, but it's fucking fascinating.
Chemistry is so fucking cool.
Crazy awesome. Yeah.
We do not realize what our atmosphere is doing to metal.
Mm-hmm.
Because it has because it is there, it has stabilized.
Right.
And so, but when we act on it, you know, and flux is doing basically what space is doing is preventing it from oxidizing so that it can fuse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so crazy. And just like there are so many elements that we just don't have because they break down, they have a half-life, they break down and are no longer what they originally were over time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's crazy. It's just some of the weird weird stuff out there.
It is fucking weird.
I love like gallium and some of those other metals that are just like you get them in science kits because of the weird stuff that they can do. It's so neat.
I feel like I missed out, like, because I didn't get to have a lot of stuff like that growing up as a kid, the little science kits and things like that.
Yeah.
I should get myself a bunch of science kits now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I should do science fair shit.
I
James just really, got so very excited.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was like, I want to play.
I do. For one of the, I would participate.
Okay.
Because I have always wanted one of those breadboard science kits that has all the different wires and electric components to plug in to make different projects happen.
Yep.
Because I never got to do that.
Oh.
That's the one thing that they did actually have at my school. Not like the board, but like we had a bunch of like wires and...
kind of plug-and-play circuit boards.
A little bit of plug-and-play. Some of it wasn't even plug-and-play. Some of it was, well, you're wrapping a wire around this because this is inner-city public school.
Hold these on a battery.
Yeah, basically.
Where'd you get a battery? Don't ask.
Yeah.
I miss Radio Shack.
Because
we did all sorts of fun stuff.
Yeah.
Going to Radio Shack and getting a literal blank circuit board.
Mm-hmm.
And doing
stuff. The project board,
probably get a bunch of stuff at Axeman. You guys want to take an Axeman trip?
Always.
Probably, yeah. I mean, I guess.
Always, yeah.
All right, field trip.
Yeah. Just going to Radio Shack and getting circuitry and putting that stuff together. Like, I made an electromagnet with that stuff, and my brother made, like, I don't remember what it was exactly, but it made noise. It was basically like a very basic Arduino. When he was in high school, like, not, you know, obviously as complex as that, but just a very simple, like, it made beeps and noises and lights and stuff like that.
I had taken an electronics course in high school where you soldered projects together.
Yep.
And that was really nice.
I put a penny in a potato once. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember blue LEDs have only been around since, like, the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, and white LEDs, not for another, you know, five something years. But I remember the day that blue LEDs became available at Radio Shack, I bought them to install, to swap out for the LEDs in my computer case. But I also was not smart enough to cover them with anything. And so I had these fucking brilliant blue spotlights
sticking out.
Like,
yep.
Murdering the entire land party. Just these two fucking low-grade lasers microwaving that was like five different kinds of electronics all smashed into one thing. But they got covered with electrical tape immediately. But still, awesome. Yeah.
So I said I'm gonna have to ask Stefan about it because obviously when we send stuff into space it already has that oxidization layer on it, but I'm curious just like would a scratch be enough, like what exactly would it take,
how much constitutes a deoxified layer,
right? Exactly. And obviously if it's scratched inside, then there's oxygen in there, so that would... But, like,
right.
If something scratches the ship outside on a surface that is metallic and another metal touches it, like clearly there's a lot of ifs and contrivances that need to happen for
this
to happen.
You're a hypothetical contrivance. Exactly.
I want to send you the story of how blue LEDs came to exist. Mm. You might also be fucking fascinated by the material sciences involved.
Yeah, no, it's really neat.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my science fact for y'all today.
Nice, I like it.
I really like that.
I wish I had done more sciencey stuff as a kid, honestly. Like, yeah. Nope, I thought I had more I was going to say about it. I do not.
That's all right.
All right. Yeah. Well, that's okay. I've got more to say because... Who wants a Fast Five?
Fast Five!
I know, right? Today's so Fast Five comes to us from... Stefan Sepan! Speaking of Stefan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, hi.
Yeah.
Yes. So Stefan actually sent this in last week, but we didn't record last week, no. So we're doing it now. So sorry, Stefan, if there was anything in here that was time sensitive, I apologize.
The entire thing.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
By the time you read this, oh, no. I was just at a LAN party with him.
There's a huge event going on the 17th that if we don't raise enough money,
they're gonna break
the
our legs.
Orphans will die.
Yeah. F. Yeah.
All right. God. Opening thoughts. Goblin cleanup. That's it.
All right.
That's
it. Well, now you know.
James knows. It's they made a maid.
Yes.
They made a maid.
We made several.
Made.
Anyway. You have the option of making a masculine goblin. But why?
Just don't tell us anymore.
Okay.
Because some people are into that. That's why, James. Seriously, don't kink shame. Question number one. Active or idle?
Oh, what kind of RPG?
RPG.
Yeah.
You're a RPG.
I don't like being idle. I don't do well being idle. I'm too ADHD for being idle.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't just sit on the beach and not do something. I need to do.
I mean, you can be reading a book. That's not idle.
Like, okay, I can read it for a little while if I'm on the beach, and then I need to go do something because stuff is happening around me. I can read a book.
Gotta do a couple laps around the earth, and then come back and read page two.
It was active or idle?
Active or idle. Mm-hmm. I don't know any Eric Actives.
Wow.
You know, too. One of them is pedantic.
I think I have to go active because God said, thou shalt have no other idols before me.
Amazing.
I'm very sad.
So am I.
This is your fault.
No, I'm happy again.
Piss off, fucker.
Yeah, I was really happy. I'm going to say idle. I'm trying to be more idle to the point where I'm following someone's advice and I am attempting to let my brain relax meditatively. I suck at meditation, so his advice was. Stare at a wall for 10 minutes. Start with 5, move up to 10. And it's helping.
Have you ever done active meditation?
Yeah. I'm not good at it.
Like where you're doing something and meditating at the same time?
I've done walking meditation.
That's fair. No, you can do like active meditation like if you're usually something repetitive like knitting or whatever, something like that, but you just let your brain wander while you're doing your thing. It's got to be something that's very simple in pattern to do.
Yeah.
But
I think the problem that I've been having is that I have been able to give myself entertainment, like listening to music, watching, having the TV on in the background, listening to a podcast, whatever it is. But I have always been doing something since I had the ability to do that. Since mm-hmm. I could have that in my car, I've been doing that since I could.
Right.
Yeah. And wireless headphones make it easier.
Yeah.
And I am now trying to cut back, and I didn't know why these things were so satisfying. The like the inconvenience of having a tape player, the inconvenience of using an iPod in my car instead of having my phone hooked in, all of that stuff. But it might be not having stimulation and letting my brain relax. Because otherwise, the only way that I can get that is by being in a flow state. And that can be really rare right now.
Sure.
And so, yeah, just taking 5 minutes. I've started 5 minutes last week. I'm trying 10 minutes this week of just looking at the wall. There's no audio. Nothing else is going on. My phone is put away, all of that stuff. And just.
So one of the things I've been doing, and maybe this would be a fun help for you.
Maybe it would.
I've gotten into a lot of face masks.
Okay.
Now I realize you have a lot of stuff on your face that might make that trickier.
Sure.
But the thing about wearing like an overnight face mask is you have to let it sit and dry before you can do anything else.
Otherwise, you wake up glued to the pillow.
Yeah. But that also means because I can't read without my glasses, I can't phone scroll or any, like I can't do anything other than just wait for my face to dry. Which makes it easier for me to not be doing something and just kind of let my brain wander. So maybe you put some glue on your forehead is what I'm saying.
Huh.
Oh, that kind of mask. Okay.
I mean, James got it right away.
That's fine. James can absolutely get it that way. I just got it.
Yeah.
I also do masking, but like that's different.
Yeah, like, why do I also do that?
It's like a COVID mask at night? What are you talking about? It was so like, why does it need to dry?
It means that her pillows don't get a cough.
What are you doing? I don't.
It's overnight masking.
I got it
now. That's an actual thing.
Figured it out. No, I get it. It's just not something I would have thought of.
So, I mean, maybe you need to put some glue on your forehead.
No, I really don't.
Nope, we're not telling that joke. All right, we're letting that go. All right.
Whee!
Good.
Kay. Question number two. Fish.
Fish?
Fish.
Or reptile.
Microfish?
No, just a regular fish.
A regular fish?
What do you call a fish with no eyes?
A fish with no eye.
Deer?
Eileen.
That's the first time you've ever called me that.
Aww. Oh, God. Oh, God. Yeah. I don't.
Usually she says he's venison.
Glottal stop.
God damn it. No way. Stop it. I hate you. Fuck off. Was it fish or reptile? Is that what it was?
Diphthong.
Why? What?
Which is the better pet for someone who's allergic, maybe? I would say probably a reptile. They're very long-lived most of the time.
Longer than a fish.
Far, far longer than most fish.
I
was about
to say, yeah, like, I wouldn't feel bad about them. I'm, okay.
Which is not utterly useless.
I can eat a fish.
I mean, you can eat a reptile.
You could eat a reptile.
Yeah, I could.
Some places serve snake. Or
I would like to try it.
Weird. Alligator is...
I have had alligator.
I've had snake... It's fine.
I don't remember if I have or not. It might have been at State Fair at one point, but I don't remember.
I think a lot of people say that it tastes like chicken, and it doesn't.
Everything tastes like chicken.
It does not taste like chicken. It has the texture
of
chicken.
It's because
But not even
everything
like
tastes
good
like chicken because you're tasting like the spices and stuff that you put on chicken. I mean, and everybody, yeah. when you cook it the same way, you're getting the same spice blend.
Yeah.
That's what you're getting.
That. But also, it's not that snake tastes like chicken.
No,
it's
that it that's has, because the meats themselves are yeah. fairly flavorless. They're not. Before you fucking write me letters, yes, they have a flavor, but are unlike pork, which has a very distinct pork flavor.
Yeah.
Chicken and is a more flavorless meat. Mm. It inherits a lot of flavor from whatever you're cooking it in.
Yes,
much like
yeah,
other foods that taste like chicken.
Sure.
So when I was pregnant, I had this, like, overwhelming urge to take care of something.
Okay.
And they had these things. They were, like, little cube aquariums of fish.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You remember those things?
Oh, yeah.
So I got one, and I had two fish and a snail.
Mm-hmm.
It was, like, little self-contained whatever. And there was one of them was very rainbowy colored, and I named her Princess Phaedra.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was just this little silver guy, and I named him Sir Galliant.
Yeah.
And
what about the snail?
Speed Racer.
There you go.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So, anyway, I followed the instructions, and I fed them a little toothpick of food and all of this stuff. And I'm, look at me, I'm being maternal and taking care of something. Princess Phaedra started eating all of the food and didn't let Sir Galliant have any of it.
Yeah.
So he died.
Yes.
And then Princess Phaedra kind of went crazy afterwards and started just like swimming up against the walls of the cube. And then she died.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't even keep fish alive. How am I supposed to keep this child alive? Like, it was horrible. But Speed Racer lived for, like, another 3 fucking years.
Well, there you go. Speed Racer was your kid.
No.
The other two were the bullies. That you protected Speed Racer from.
Sure.
Okay.
anyway, so reptiles, I guess, is the long way of getting to my answer on that. Because,
mm-hmm.
man,
mm-hmm.
fish, I tell you what.
Jesus.
Although, I did play Nutty the Fishmonger. Oh, shit. Reptiles.
The fish that I will eat is a very specific slice of cuisine.
Huh.
I eat sushi.
Yes.
That's really the only way.
But you don't like cooked fish?
Not usually. I love seafood.
Yes.
But, like, I'm not big on cooked fish. Like, a tuna salmon. Steak, a salmon steak,
oh my God.
I don't generally like.
Yeah. I like swordfish.
I like
a walleye bake. I just like. Just
I like
not for me.
Fresh fish. The problem I had growing up is that I didn't have fresh fish, so I didn't think I liked fish.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I started getting fresh fish, and I was like, oh,
fresh fish.
This is what it's supposed to taste like, not freezer burned. Got it.
Yeah,
right.
Like, yeah. If the fish is not fresh, like,
yeah,
it is either good or bad. There is no middle ground on that for sure. So.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, even a really expensive salmon steak is just kind of like, I'd rather have something else. Give me a bowl of pasta.
Fascinating.
Yeah, fish don't do it for me.
Buttery walleye.
Oh.
I know, right?
Oh, yeah.
I just smothered in it.
Yeah.
I will take buttery scallops over that any day.
Well, scallops are amazing.
Yeah, exactly. I do love scallops.
You're not wrong.
I just little sea marshmallows.
I don't have anything against fish, per se. It does nothing for me. Nothing.
You're shaking your head like that's not exactly correct.
I just don't want to think about it.
Yeah, all right.
Like, I don't want to think about salsa rubbing his goddamn nipple while talking about diphthongs or whatever.
Well.
Goddamn it.
Now it's naked.
Walleye.
No, yeah. I don't. I'm looking over here.
Shore lunch.
No, James, that was not an invitation for you to start doing it. God damn it.
Oh, he's got them both out.
Nope, I'm not. Nope.
He's pinching them like he was a lobster.
Yeah.
Anyway, reptile.
Question number 3. Dozens or hundreds Although I am starting to see why people stop sending in Fast Fives if this is the way we get
it. Oh, Jesus.
dozens or hundreds?
Hundreds.
I'm going to go dozens.
Dozens. Dozens?
Dozens.
All right.
Cool.
Dozens is another name for the activity of telling your mom jokes.
That's true.
So I'm going to say the dozens. Yeah.
Playing the dozens, yeah.
Yeah, the dirty dozens, yeah.
What?
That when kids used to tell your mom jokes...
It was playing the dozens.
It was playing the dozens. Yeah.
Never heard.
So I'm going
to
go dozens.
It's actually, to be fair, that is much more of a black community thing. Oh. So you may not have heard it growing up.
AAVE.
I don't know if you knew this. You're not black.
No.
Right.
Goodness,
yeah.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I did not see a black person in real life until I was probably in my really late teens.
I can't even imagine.
I grew up in South Dakota, man.
No, I get it.
We didn't have those.
Like, I grew up on inner city east side, like next to the brewery. Like, I don't.
My school had one black kid.
I don't.
One black kid.
I grew up with Native Americans. Plenty of those.
Sure.
Did not see a black person until I was well into my teens.
Then
it was a South Dakota black person who did not, yeah.
I am sure at one point I saw my first black person, but I'm guessing I was like 6 months old. I'm just like, yeah. Yeah. Oh, man, it reminds me of a Josh Johnson joke.
Yes. I know the one.
You know the one. It's really good.
Yeah.
Look it up, friends. Maybe I'll find a link.
Just watch all of Josh Johnson.
Also,
I got tickets for when he's in town next.
Ooh, well done.
I have spare. Who likes me best?
I mean, historically, it's been me.
Finally, you get to cash in on it.
Yes. Empirical evidence.
That's true.
States.
I want to go to Josh Johnson, but I'm not going to lie and say that I like Jenna best. Damn it.
Yeah.
All right, question number four. On or off?
off. Gross. Don't do it. I hate you so
I said
much.
The same thing you did.
Sure.
I don't.
God damn it.
I don't understand.
It just reminds me of the end of C-Lab. Every time the Captain Murphy would be going to bed with somebody and he'd say something.
Was it in a Murphy bed?
Probably. Okay. Something like, do you want the mustache on or off?
Yep.
And the person would be like, on. Too bad. Whatever they said, it was the wrong answer.
Yep.
It was always too bad. Yeah,
that show was so weird. And I loved
it was very weird.
Of it.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to say off. Okay. I am the person who turns lights off in my house most of the time.
Too bad.
I hate you so much.
Question number five. Movies or games?
Games.
Ooh.
Games.
I'm gonna go games. Games. Some gams. Got some nice gams.
I've been working out.
I do like
games. You're welcome, dear.
I referred to my spouse's legs as stems or getaway sticks, and they were delighted.
All right.
They had never heard pins. I also call them pins.
Oh, I do like pins. Pins is good.
Pins is really nice.
Pins is real good.
I will frequently compliment them on their gams and their pins, their stems, their getaway sticks.
What does that have to do with movies or games, though?
You said gams.
I said
but distracted that's not thinking what the about question. My spouse's legs, which I feel is fair. Games,
games.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's find out what this all means. Question number one, active or idle? Which style of game do you enjoy more?
Active.
Active.
Active. Definitely that one. Question number two, fish or reptile? What would you keep in an aquarium if you received one tomorrow? A reptile.
Reptile.
I would not take the aquarium.
You don't have that option.
We we have three spare aquariums, and Jack says,
"Got
like,
another one.
We could get another. We could. Well, then it's sitting in my garage with
Where
the others.
Would that one sitting in the garage have a fish or a reptile in it?
No, no, and I
not." Allowed.
Someone else?
Are you new to this game, James?
I refuse.
Give the aquarium to someone else, but what are you putting in it when you give to them?
I would give someone else fish.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Oh, my God.
Question number three. Dozens or hundreds? How many games do you own on Steam but have not played?
Mm. Oh, hundreds.
Thousands.
Absolutely.
Honestly,
hundreds.
I have... Nuns.
You have no unplayed games?
If I have bought it, I have played it.
Haven't been gifted a bunch of what the fuck is it? Daddy, love, whatever that bullshit is.
I have played all of them.
I
play them at least once.
James has gifted me a fuck ton of games I have.
Look, Dream Daddy is a great game.
Sure.
I have many games that I have played 1 or 2 hours of and then hidden from my list. But if I get a game, I'm playing the game.
I feel like Jenna's library is just waiting for date everything.
It really is. It's just like...
You will have had a date like that.
Oh, God.
With a piano, with a record player.
I think it helps that I'm Poe.
Mm, sure.
Because I don't buy that many games. When I do buy a game, it's a moment. And then I buy a game. And then I play that game. And then Christmas comes, and I get a bunch of games, and I fucking play those games.
I only buy, like, 2 games a year for myself.
Yeah.
But I probably buy a dozen for others.
I am aware.
And with each one of them, I lovingly craft poetry.
I am also aware...
All right, question number 4. On or off? What state is your webcam when you join a meeting?
Off. I for some meetings on some days I will turn my camera on and take part visually. But I will tell you that is a rare treat for my coworkers.
My meeting always starts with the camera off.
Yes. Correct.
If it is a camera on meeting, I will then switch to camera on.
Mm-hmm.
But it starts with off.
God, yeah. I don't even like. Not only is my camera off, but the little flippy thing is flipped.
Yeah.
I'm not
100%.
I'm not playing this game in any way, shape, or form. Yeah.
No.
I did apply to one job a couple days ago, and it specifically said like this is a camera on company, and I was just like, I need a job.
But it's not in office.
So, yeah. And the thing is I can.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm like, don't look at me, I'm hideous or something like that. I just, why?
What's extra sad is that the way I have my home office, like, I've actually taken care to make sure that everything's arranged in such a way where if I had my camera on, it would look very professional and very, like,
wait a fucking second.
Yes.
You two are both all like off, and then whenever we record remotely, you're like, Salsa, turn your fucking camera on.
That is actually important to be able to communicate non-verbally while we are recording.
Are a camera on company. Yes.
Nope. There are 2 times where my camera goes on, and it is for recording. Apropos of nothing, because we need to have those non-audio cues to tell each other to wrap it the fuck up,
James. The piece of paper that Jenna has emblazoned with the shut the fuck up slogan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it is important to be able to communicate non-verbally.
Yeah.
But also, when I'm running board meetings, they want me to, you know.
Yeah.
See yeah. me or something.
When I am...
Like I'm in charge or some shit.
When I am doing a troubleshooting call with someone over Teams and they turn their camera on, I will usually do the same.
That's fair.
Yeah, if it's a one-on-one thing, I'll mm-hmm. usually flip it on if they do.
Yeah.
One-on-one meetings with my boss or things like that, it was on. Because then we're directly communicating with each other.
Yeah.
But in a group meeting, fuck that.
There is a weird fatigue to being on camera.
Yeah.
But, like, the last 5 years have taught everybody that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Question number five, movies or games, which would you keep on a server in your basement?
Mm.
Your personal media collection mm-hmm. or game servers?
Ooh. Media collection.
I think I have to switch. Because I do actually... I don't have servers, but I do have an external hard drive that I can access in a similar way to a server.
Same, yeah.
You know,
yeah. I don't.
It's not a proper server, yeah. but it's still.
There was a time when I did have a media server. I had a NAS set up so that I could have one iTunes library for everything in the house, and that kind of stuff, and it was. Just a constant fucking hassle. I'm sure the technology mm-hmm. is better now.
Yeah. Oh,
but my
absolutely.
God, I hated that.
I mean, it could have been a you thing, too.
I mean...
Possibly.
Sure.
Yeah.
I have looked into setting up, like... there's a way to set up an external...
Yeah.
With, like, Plex or something.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Exactly that.
I've thought about doing that, but then I would have to put in the effort, and that just...
Smacks of effort.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't know what I would do with a game server. I never play online games.
Well, I mean, even if you are only playing Minecraft,
which I don't.
Or something like that that has a persistent world.
Which I don't.
At this point in time.
Yeah.
Correct.
So... I also don't have a lot of personal media.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I would go with that one just because mm-hmm. I don't play online games.
I have Star Trek and Star Wars and Stargate mm-hmm. and Steven Universe and mm-hmm. a bunch of Jane Austen and mm-hmm. like, I think Babylon 5. I've got a lot of nerd stuff on my external.
Mm. Shocked. I'm... Shocked.
You should be.
Look at me.
Mm-hmm.
I am.
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
Yep.
All right.
All right. Closing thoughts. LAN party next weekend. Oops. Whew. Sorry. he was super stoked for it, James.
Yeah.
So
we had a great time.
Good. Good.
It was nice to see him there. I mean, he's not super stoked for it anymore.
No, because he was post stoked.
Hmm.
He was poked?
Participle.
What? No.
Symbolism.
Syntax.
Fricative.
God damn it. I don't like you guys.
But honestly, fricative is really good.
Thank you so very much, Stefan, for sending in that Fast Five. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, go to aonpodcast.com, click on Submit a Fast Five, and fill out the form.
Yes, please.
Although, if this was any indication, why would you want to?
Yeah.
Does anybody have a shout-out?
I want to give a shout-out to Fantastic Voyage Improv. Mm. Boy, howdy, are they just a fun group of people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Thank you to them for putting me on a stage doing improv for the first time in, like, 7 years?
Mm-hmm. I... have more than one shout out. First, shout out to Honeybee Heather, who works at Fantastic Sam's and cut my hair. Mm-hmm. I donated 2 feet of hair. I have a kind of a fuckboy Bob, honestly.
A little bit
berries and cream is what my child was like. It's a berries and cream haircut. I don't have bangs, but, you know, it's short. But it is, like, it's good and it feels great. It's easy to maintain. And I'm going to grow it back out and then donate it again.
Yeah.
Second shout out is to my spouse. We just had our third wedding anniversary, our ninth year together as a couple. And
Jesus Christ, it's been forever.
Wonderful. Yeah. Yeah. I love them very much. That's why I'm marrying them. And then the third shout out is to the new folks on the Vil 10 cast.
Yeah.
More news about that on the website once it is public.
Yay.
Good stuff. So, those are my shout outs.
Woo.
Salsa.
Gonna give my shout out to World Circus Day.
Woo.
Yes, World Circus Day was on Saturday. To those that celebrate, happy World Circus Day to you. To those that don't celebrate, happy World Circus Day to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know it's in the past, but still.
But still.
Well, you know. Oh, hey, it's also happy World Circus Day.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Delicate.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Salsa, happy World Circus Day.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
Correct. All right.
Does anybody have anything to plug?
I do.
Go first.
You go first.
Oh, okay. So my spouse does an after-school program where they teach anime as part of media literacy. Or rather, they teach media literacy with anime as part of it. Their school kids are going to put on an adorably small con. It is one day for 3 hours between 4 p.m. and 7 p.m. on April 24th, Friday, April 24th, at the Highland Park Middle School. Anyone and everyone. It is called TeenyCon. And there will be a cosplay parade, an art show. They will have panels and games. And they are featuring Harrison Daiko, the Taiko drumming group, part of their TeenyCon.
That sounds adorable.
It sounds like right up your alley.
It's going to be great.
Teeny, tiny, and a con.
Yep. They're going to have board games.
Aww. Will they be teeny board games?
Some of them might be.
Excellent.
Ooh. Yeah. Now I'm just picturing playing teeny tiny board games with tweezers and stuff.
I do love a teeny board game.
And tiny dominoes.
Old little travel size games.
Yeah.
The chessboard's
collected
like
those.
5 inches.
I'm not surprised.
I had several of
this
them.
This is my shocked face.
Yes. It should be. Yeah.
Anyway. Hey.
Hi.
Ho.
What'd you call me?
A hoe.
Oh, that sounds correct. Next Monday, I will not be here recording because I will be elsewhere performing.
Ooh.
Minnesota Fringe Festival has an annual fundraiser show that they do every year called Five Fifths. It's where they take a movie and break it into five fifths. Huh. And each fifth is performed on stage, interpreted by a specific theater company. So there's five different theater companies. They each perform a fifth of the movie.
Makes sense.
This year, they're doing 9 to 5.
Hell yes.
and Mermaid Productions, the company owned by Ariel Pinkerton, is doing one of those fifths.
Fantastic.
And I am going to be doing the tiniest of bit parts for it.
Excellent.
But yeah,
she's going to say her name and what being in the tech industry does for her.
And seriously, that's all of the performance I do now. Two lines
just and name I'm out. Dropping. Yeah.
I just herself. I dropped my own name.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm just like, hi, I'm Jenna Young. You may remember name me from dropper. Such tech industries
as the girls' bathroom.
Lead paint, delicious but deadly.
But yeah, so I will be performing in that next Monday. It is being held. I pulled this up specifically so I could read it and then put it down before I did. 5/5 of 9 to 5 will take place at 7:30 p.m. on April 27th at Theater Latida.
Nice.
345 13th Avenue Northeast, Minneapolis. So, right.
So 9/5 of 5 to 5. Got it.
Yes. Oh my God.
No, it's 5/9
of 5 to 5
times.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I do.
I hate you both.
Have a show that's coming up.
What? I thought you were done. Okay.
Yeah. What are you? You double dipping?
I forgot.
The scans.
Yeah. So, I will be doing long distance improv. It will be in person, but the name of the improv structure is long distance.
Yes.
Please hold. So the show starts at 6:30. It is at Fix FIXX Coffee in Minneapolis. It is on the 30th, which I believe is a Thursday. Yes, Thursday, April 30th. And so I'll be doing improv and maybe a little bit of stand-up.
Nice.
Yeah.
Does anybody have any final thoughts?
Bye-bye, I love you, bye-bye-bye.
In that case, thank you so very much to everybody who listens to this show. Thank you so very much, Stefan, for sending in that Fast Five.
Yay. It's been a little while.
It was a delight to do those again.
Yeah.
On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.